Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. Good morning. Well,
Good
after
morning.
well, I guess it's still morning for you.
It's still morning, sure. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I
Good.
kind of sinusy because of all the yard work I did. A lot of pollens got
Yeah.
in my
You did a
nose
lot of work
yesterday.
outside.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I crashed at 8:30 because I was exhausted.
I actually, we were busy a little bit yesterday, and so we finally got the kids down, and we watched a couple shows, and then I brought down a bunch of comics to read, some new ones, and then also some for today, and I got through a couple of the new ones, and I was having trouble keeping my eyes open halfway through it.
Last night or what?
Yeah, last night. So
Yeah.
and then I just put it on. I'm like, I'm just gonna rest my eyes for 5 minutes. Yeah, like
Yeah.
2 hours later, I woke up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I got up in the middle of the night 'cause I went to bed so early and I read three comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went back to sleep.
Oh, that's good.
I read some Tom King Batman, put me to sleep.
Well, I maybe that sounds like it's moving in the right direction, because before it was making you angry, now it's just making
No,
you sleep.
his dialogue just, you know how sometimes you have like a something that takes you out of a story, like it
Sure,
just
yeah.
he does like word rip repetition like over and over again, and I can't even enjoy the story because of it.
It's
And
funny that you said that.
there was only one panel in this issue 25, which you probably don't have yet,
No, I didn't
but
read that.
there's only one scene that I was like, oh no, here it is again. And I was gonna push through it. And I thought I was gonna last the whole issue, and it didn't. And I was like, ah, oh, that's a pleasant surprise. I expected it to take me out of the story, but it only took me out for, a little bit. And then I was back in.
Did you listen to the interview that they had with him just recently?
Yeah. I
Yeah, and
listened, I haven't finished it, but I listened to good
I
portion
think
of it.
that's one of the things that they talked about.
I think it
And then
was
I know on,
sarcasm, though.
as
I
I
think
was
they were
looking,
taking my words and throwing it in there is wit.
I don't, I'm not sure. And I only say that because I saw them. I just happened, when I was looking at Twitter, somebody that I don't know who it is, just somebody asked him a question specifically about that,
Yeah.
about the petition. And they asked him, like, he's like, I'm not trying to, be a pain in the ass, or I'm not trying to be like a troll or anything, but he's like, do you think that that's like a crutch that you've used, because he's used it, on a more than one book, more than one title. And they actually had like a short conversation back and forth
Oh,
with Tom
really?
saying, yes, he's like, that is actually something I feel like I've overused.
He has, and I guess I didn't notice it so much in the vision,
No, I
but
didn't.
man, it. And now that I know it's there, like
Now you
now that
can't not see it.
I cannot see it. Like
Right.
I can't take my eyes off of it, and it doesn't. Usually. You have something to like, oh, the art's nice or whatever, but that little thing, and then I go show Barb, and I'm like, Barb, am I wrong? What's going on? And she goes, holy mackerel,
Well, because he did
it,
that for Omega Men too, but because I
yeah,
just read the whole thing, but I mean, it doesn't really bother me.
that's because it's not your peeve, right?
Right. Yep.
It is with me. So I can't even enjoy the story though. And I'm not gonna stop. It's Batman, for Christ's sake. I don't have that Rob ability to say, oh, I'm not enjoying it anymore. I'll just stop. It's not gonna make my pull list. I can't do that.
Yeah,
Like
I
I'm
know.
not
Well,
enjoying Justice League of America either. Like I trudge through that book. Like
really, that one's up and down.
I try to find something to grab onto, and it's like they take all the individual characters I really like, put them on a team, and I don't know, it's like a hot mess to me.
Yeah.
But you posed a great question.
I
That
did.
one, yeah, you said, what's Steve Orlando like? And I never thought about it until you asked the question, but you said, well, what has he done that everybody likes him so much? And the only thing I can name is Midnighter.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I wasn't being critical. I really honestly didn't look it up, so I didn't know, but I
Yeah.
knew that
No,
between you
but
guys. No, go
I knew
ahead.
he did the weekly series, so I was like, I
Right.
like that. And I
Yeah.
liked his contributions to that.
Well,
And I
Aaron and
did I
Ronnie,
did
I
I
mean, Aaron would say every single time, you know, he's like, "Well, I love Steve Orlando." I'm like, "What does he love about him? He absolutely can't stand Supergirl." And you know, and so I'm like, I'm not sure exactly what I'm missing. But yeah,
Yeah.
Midnighter was great, but I'm not sure what else I really loved.
Oh, Supergirl's another one. And Supergirl reminds me of New 52 Superboy because it never found like an identity. It's just like there. Do you know what I mean? It's not quite as bad as Superboy because Superboy, to me, it was just a bunch of crossovers, tie into this, tie into that, and it never found its own identity as its own book. This has its identity, but it struggles with being what it is because it's like, am I the TV or am I the comic or am I the T? It
I
just
totally agree.
it balances a fine line, but it's not able to find like its own like I'm all the other super like New 52 Supergirl. I really liked. Like I thought it
Yeah,
was great.
I haven't read. I've never read any of it, so
New
I'm just.
it was the one that stood out to me as like, hey, that's a success of the Superman family, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Everybody has their own things. For me, it's those two books I really struggle through. Supergirl is just I go through the motions. I
Yeah,
don't like
that I
Superwoman,
don't.
I'm enjoying a lot more. Like I
I
enjoy
just
that
don't
book a
think.
lot more.
I don't think Supergirl has been one of their stronger titles in the first place. And then they did it quite a disservice by having that Mariko Tamaki do the Supergirl being super, because that is amazing.
That
So.
they should have left that. They should have put that as the launch, because they could have got away with it.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what it would take at this point. I mean, I know it would never happen, but to have her jump on the main title and have her write that
Well,
thing. I mean,
I think she's clicking with us, with me and
she's
you
fantastic.
as a writer. Like
Yeah.
she to me, she's really engaging. Like I don't care if She-Hulk's not punching something. The story's just so engaging. Like I'm in there, and the same could be said with
Absolutely.
Supergirl. She's not in costume. It's just like her backstory, and I'm fine with that because the
Yeah,
story is
because
so good. It's just well written. I don't
exactly,
need,
so well told.
yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my
So,
God,
yeah.
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention a couple of things real quick, and they're somewhat retro related. One, retro in terms of that legacy from Marvel. I wanted to get your take on the industry changing announcement that Marvel said that they were going to do on Friday.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to it, so you have to.
Okay.
You see, let me tell you something. I get stuff from people that say, have you read my article and stuff like this, and I don't read articles or I don't read future stuff because I buy it all. So why would I get spoiled on any factor of it? Do you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
I buy what I buy, and I don't like to read like why you should buy something. You know what I
So
mean?
you didn't read any, you
No,
don't know anything about
I know
this?
a little bit because Barb saw Ivy posting about it, and
Yeah,
I was
okay.
like, wow, that's interesting because the part she read to me, five of the announcements were books I don't get anyway, so I don't really care. I mean, I might get Moon Girl just because it's got Thing and Torch, and I like to follow what's happening with the Torch. Like they just had him on in the Spectacular Spider-Man number one,
Well, it
and
was just,
I like that.
I think it was just odd the way that Marvel chose to say that they're going to have an announcement, right? On Thursday, they said it's going to change the comic book industry. Now, obviously,
What was there anything else to it? I saw some, like, totally awesome Hulk changes going back to Planet Hulk. I saw – was there anything else that I missed?
No. I mean, well, you know, you're going to have a bunch of, you know, titles that are going to – you know, instead of the all new, all different or what have you, it's – you know, they're calling it Legacy. You know, some titles are ending. There's some new titles starting, and a lot of titles are continuing. But it was so – and it's not that it's not interesting, but it was so run-of-the-mill in terms of, you know, this is what we expect every, you know, 6 to 8 months, that I really thought there was going to be something, like, huge, like a
I don't know if they were going to say – You know what would have been used for me is if they said, hey, we're relaunching Fantastic Four. I would have been, oh, yes.
That would have been
Thing and Torch are going to be in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
There's going to be Marvel 2-in-1, too. Did you see that?
Oh, is there? That's a good.
I think it's a duo book of Thing and Torch. I don't think it's a team up. Yeah. So am I. But,
that's one of the runs I want to. That's on my radar, you know?
That's a fun run.
Yeah, I don't have all of it.
I have hardly any. I mean, maybe 5 issues.
I have about 20 issues, and then I have all of the thing, you know, the thing that launched out of it when the last issue
like
ended.
Yeah, like in the 80s?
Yeah, because Byrne launched it, and then I stuck with it. That was like Planet Hulk. That's when they put him in space, and, you know, he did stuff outside of... the continuity for the most part.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering like what your take, me and Chris were talking a little bit about it. It's just, it just, while there's nothing wrong with the announcement itself, the pre-announcement made it seem like it was going to be a much bigger deal.
Yeah, they should have just said, hey, it's almost like a Marvel rebirth kind of thing, you know, like, that's what you're expecting with that kind of announcement.
I'm like, are they going to,
they're going to put, they're going to put all their legacy characters back in new number ones, and they're starting. That would have been big. But I got to hand it to Marvel. As much as they reboot and redo their things, it feels still continuous to me. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean in terms of
in a continuity.
Point A to point Z?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
DC too. I could explain all of it. The one that's kind of weird is the latest one, but that's Watchmen explained. You could almost get away with murder, right?
Yep. Right.
And the same thing with Secret Wars. You're like, why is this person? What did I read lately it was an annual of Daredevil and it had Echo in it, and I'm like, what the fuck? Echo's dead. Like, I saw her die. When did she come back? And I was like, did I miss something? Because I don't read all Marvel. I read a portion of it. But I'm like, okay, so they brought her back somewhere. And they never explained it. Like, how she came back. She just was back.
Yeah.
So in my mind tries to do its own thing when nobody can explain it, like, on the interwebs. Or I just explain it, well... In Secret Wars, when they revamped it, she came back. So, because she
maybe
died
that's
in
what
Moon
it was.
Knight. She died in Moon Knight.
Yeah,
Bendis
I don't.
This run.
Oh, did she? Okay, yeah. That's why I don't remember, because I know Echo was Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, I love Moon Knight. Like, he's in my top 5 Marvel.
I can take or leave him, depending. I read the last one, the Jeff Lemire run, but I haven't read one recently before that.
Yeah.
So the other thing I just wanted to mention, now this goes along with,
I did, you did though, you pulled the guilt on me and I went and reordered it. I ordered those legacy books, those one shots.
Did you really?
Yeah. You know, you were like, well, you said you were going to order it. And I'm like, yeah,
I was just
did.
Making a joke. I'm like, Mike, you and Daryl told me that if it was going to be a bundle, that I should get it. So that's what I did.
The thing is I looked at, like, I don't know, I saw somebody's tweet on the, what do you call it, and it said Jason Aaron. And I'm like, well, I like everything he does, so why wouldn't I get it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I saw some of the other creative teams, and I said, "Yeah, I might as well get it. What the hell?"
I guess we'll see what it is. You know, they're just one shots, so.
Yeah. I mean, I like Tyler Kirkham a lot,
Yeah.
but I'm not 100% crazy about All New Wolverine. You know,
Yeah.
like his
Oh, do you
DC
not?
stuff
I really like
is
her.
amazing. Like, I love his DC stuff. He tends to like do really well in the alternate worlds.
Yeah. So now I haven't listened to your episodes, but congratulations on Daredevil number 1 and 2.
Oh yeah, I did it, and I don't feel guilty about it, so that's a good thing. Like
That's awesome.
I'm really happy with the books and stuff. So
You should be.
now I only have like 7 books to go,
It's
and
all downhill.
they're all downhill. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think number 9 is my earliest,
Oh my God,
and then
that's awesome.
everything else is like in the hundreds, and then I'm missing minus 1, so it's
Well,
not
and
a big deal. That's a quarter
I
book.
think you can pick that one up pretty easily.
Well, there was a cool vendor there, and the reason I was using my actually engineering brain on this one, because I was like, well, I don't want to exceed the 50 pounds of my luggage.
Yeah.
So like I like the this one guy was selling, like, I could have probably delved into more. Like, I bought a lot of Punisher and Punisher war journals, because I've been into the Punisher lately. But I didn't exceed like a certain size, because I could have. There were 50-cent books. I was like, and
Yeah.
they're in great condition. I was like, I would have loved to have looked more, you know? Like, if it was here in the Springs, I would have just brought my wheelbarrow in and just filled a bunch of runs, you know?
See, that's actually what I wanted to tell you too, is that I fell into that yesterday. The comic shop that I go to had a sidewalk sale, and I'm like, I'll go check it out. I wasn't planning on probably getting much, depending on what they had. And the first few boxes that I looked through were all like 90s Image books, where either I already have or I was not, you know, necessarily interested in. So
yeah.
I got a couple of Stormwatch that I still needed, because I'm trying to fill that run. And then I moved along, and it was all, you know, like DC, well, mostly DC. And there were like 80s, like late 70s, early 80s DC.
Yeah.
I ended up filling a short box.
Ah, oh, nice.
And but again, they were 50 cents each, and there were all these like post-crisis Superman. I collected for maybe 3 or 4 years after Crisis, and then I dropped off all the Superman titles until just before Death of Superman.
Yeah.
So there's a span there that I'm missing. So he had like entire runs for 50 cents each. So I'm like, how can
nice.
I not pick them up? I'm never going to find – those are hard to find because nobody's bringing them to cons. You know what I mean? And then there was a ton of Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, or just / Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
So I got a ton, like a huge stack of those.
So yeah, that's good.
I did pretty well.
That's good. I saw the box.
Did you? Oh, did you see
it? I was hoping you would talk about some of the what was in it.
Yeah. So a lot of Superman, and then I would say about a third of the box is Legion of Superheroes, either that, you know, the volume that came from Superboy, or the second volume, or even the third volume. I have like nothing from the third volume. That's the one that Daryl covered a little on your DC Weekly Reads a while ago.
Yeah.
Where like they weren't in the costume and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't read any of those, and I don't own any of those. I ended up basically getting like a full run, like from 1 to like 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of reading to do now.
Yeah, and you're better about reading than I am. Like, I kind of wish that I could get into your mode. I just can't. Cause like I'm already falling behind in DC, and it's because, man, I just don't feel like reading it now. Like,
well, that's fair.
Now I've been on the Marvel stuff. You know, I've been reading, you know, the Secret Empire stuff and Daredevil and Hulk, and I'm totally. I know what kind of collector I am, a library collector. I want to have it all and I want to read it when I want to read
Yeah, well,
it.
I can understand, like we've talked about this before, and I can definitely understand that. I mean, it's at the point now where we talked about this once before as well, but I could stop buying comic books for like a year and not run out to read at this point.
I probably have enough to last me till my death,
You probably do. I probably
but
don't have past like a year and a half with all the hardcovers and trades. But yeah, I'm sure you could probably get away
it's
with
a
never
lot.
buying one again if you
Yeah.
wanted
It's a
to.
lot.
But yeah, it
But
was
I did I you know what I did miss is I saw you post, "Hey, I'm reading this, I'm reading that." And I like and I'm a big Wonder Woman fan. I'm like, "How the hell did I not get by this Wonder Woman Steve Trevor?" I'm like, "God damn it."
Oh, you didn't pick that up?
No, I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, it was just the one
It's
shot
like
a
one
few
thing I
weeks ago,
just
or a few months ago.
look past, and that's something that I don't want to miss, personally. Like I
Yep. Yeah.
so I put it on my comicshop.order and I'll get that fixed.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, I started posting all the ones that I'm reading again. You know what it was? It was getting to be too overwhelming. Like I wasn't enjoying doing it anymore. It was like
Yeah.
becoming chore to actually post them all. So now what I'll do is if I just don't feel like chatting about them or putting a little description on them, then I just post them and say that that's what I read. But before I felt like I needed to actually say something about every single one, and that's when it felt like it was a chore. You know? So. So what
Yeah,
else?
it's, let's see what else. So that's all I bought comic wise, but
Oh, is that
those are big purchases.
just two comic books?
Yeah.
Oh,
But I bought probably 40 Punisher War Journals and 10 Punishers, so
nice.
yeah.
You guys had a good time, huh?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. It wasn't like I don't know, cons are so different for me now. It's like I spend Sunday at the con maybe, and then the rest of the time is other stuff. Like I mean it's in terms of shopping, like I'll be there Friday, Saturday. Like Friday is kind of like, oh, I'll get one or two commissions because they're so damn expensive now.
Right. Oh, what did you get this time? Did you get anything?
I got a Wonder Wo an unpublished Wonder Woman page, that Andrew Peepoy inked.
Oh, I think I saw that you posted
Yeah,
that, right?
yeah, yeah. So I got that, and then I got a commission from him of Wonder Woman. And then I got another Wonder Woman with. I got all Wonder Womans. I didn't get anything different.
You were inspired by the movie.
No, I have. Like, there's. My collection of art is Batman the Outsiders, Freedom Fighters, Wonder Woman, and some Doom Patrol. It's all same stuff, sort of thing. So, like, I have. Like, Wonder Woman's always been my favorite. So I always get a commission of her, at least one.
That's cool.
Yeah, every
Well,
commission con.
you got that Mr. Miracle what, a couple years ago or last year from Matt Kent.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing
Well,
was
if it's the
absolutely
Jack Kirby
beautiful.
characters, I do. And I used to have Tom Scholey do a bunch of them because he draws like in that type of style, and but his rates just, well, he wasn't there this year, but his rates just got too high for me. Like
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it anymore.
That's too bad.
And they only go into an art book, so like I don't have any room to frame them or anything, so
Right.
I'm like, do I really want to spend this, or would I rather buy Daredevil number one or something that I'm
Oh.
after, and it always now it used to be I'd go for commissions, and now it's totally shifted.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'd rather complete this run, or I look for an expensive book and then try to get a good deal on it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Chris can't join us today.
Yeah.
But he tried his best. He had plans to do some yard work and he tried to work around it, but that he couldn't work around it, so that's why he's not here.
He's out toiling outside.
But that's why we have three people, because we could keep the show moving.
Yeah. That's right.
Especially in the summertime. In the wintertime, we're all in the house anyway. It's so damn cold. In the summertime, there's shit to do.
Exactly. And summer doesn't last long.
Yeah.
How long are your summers in your area?
I don't know. Summer to me starts in the spring and goes all the way to the fall.
As long as it's not snowing.
We get all the seasons, so like we get snow in the summer, so I don't care. I mean,
gosh.
But where it's shorts weather, I'd say it's for me May to September.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same here then.
But I'm not a cold person. Like if you told that my wife, she'd think it was cold in May, you know, or September.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we had highs in the 70s yesterday and today, and the lows were 50s, so they've been pretty mild, right? You know, and it's already what, almost July?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little cool. Is that normal?
I lose track. I mean, we've had mild winters the last couple winters, so I think we're due. we're due for a bad one, but
I think that part of it, at least in our area, is due to the non-existent climate change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we're definitely our, you know what it is? It fluctuates a lot now. As a whole, it lasts, like the warm weather seems to last longer than it ever did before.
Yeah.
But we could have like crazy ups and downs along the way too, where we used to be pretty steady.
Yeah. Well, the current administration reminds me of, or the GOP reminds me of Rayshaw Ghoul or Vandal Savage. You know how they want to just have the premium crop and kill everybody else? They don't care.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just like a one of
you
those
said
guys.
It. That's exactly right.
Reduce I'm the population it. By letting everybody die.
Yeah, okay, except for the ones that they want to stay
except
alive.
Except for the rich.
Yeah.
So that's like, okay.
We just finished watching The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu.
Yeah.
And do you know what the basic premise is?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. In the future, the women are not treated so well, and they're used
yeah,
to, they're used
oh,
to
very,
breed
very
like
few,
a
yeah yeah because very few can
it's kind of like Road Warrior mother's milk or whatever mm-hmm. they're doing
yeah it's not all that like crazy. It's like in this current like situation that we're in, it's like it's only like a couple steps over from what we're living right now, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, and that's true because they don't care about women's rights and they really hate a strong woman. When a woman goes into the questioning and they slam them for being so stupid, they mm-hmm. just disregard them. You know what I mean? They're just like,
yeah,
it's not fair. I don't know. I have this logical brain, so a lot of things they do just doesn't work with me. You know, it's criminal to me.
Yeah, because it's based more on emotion than it is.
Yeah, it's based on it's based on religion and your beliefs. It's not based on political what should be right for our country and our people.
Yep. 100% I agree.
And that's where they cross the line between church and state, and it just bothers the hell out of me. It's supposed to be separation.
Exactly. My mom posted something. We're getting off track, but my mom posted something a while back saying, like, you know, well, like it's one of those memes where it says, like, if you think religion should be taught in school or something, share this post. And of course, my mom shared it.
Yeah.
And so I replied, I'm like, oh, I'm like, what? Which religion do you think it should be?
Yeah.
Like, there's more than one.
Yeah. And that's
you're saying like all religions.
That's like totally not fair, you know?
Right. If you want to have a study of all religions, I'm not against that.
I am not either. Believe what you want to believe, and hey,
right.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, as a history type thing.
Okay, don't force your stuff on me or my family, you know?
Yep. That's so it was like, kind of funny, but.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yep. All right, we want to cover some stuff?
Yeah, let's talk comics.
All right.
Or whatever, horror movies or whatever.
I've got all Marvel comics today.
Just kind of a change. Let's see what. I have one publisher I don't know where it's from, and then I have all DC, so we got a good balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want me to cover one?
Yeah, why don't you?
All right. So yesterday or whatever, I was just double-checking with you what the time frame is for Retro, because I couldn't remember if it was 10 years or if it was longer than that.
Yeah, sometimes I want to go back 5. And it's tough. Or sometimes like right on the cusp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God dang, I can't cover Simon Dark yet. Or, you know, I'm like, oh, crap. But
well, I lucked out here because this particular book was published in February of 2006. So it's 11 years old.
There you go.
What I'm covering is the New Avengers number 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at that one store that constantly has 50 cent comic books.
Yeah. Who's the creative team?
Okay.
Get lost on this because of all the relaunches.
So the creative team for this one, this is the first volume. It's Brian
Bendis. Okay.
And Frank Cho is the artist. So some really pretty art in this. I will admit that when I was going through these long boxes, I saw number 14 and 15. I bought them just because of the covers, because they have just wonderful covers of Spider-Woman on them.
Yeah.
But I picked them up and I read them. Now, I had actually collected this series up to issue number 10 back when it originally came out, and then I just stopped. Pretty much, I didn't stop buying all Marvel by any means, but I took a break from a lot of different Marvel titles. I just at that point I thought there was maybe too many Avengers titles and stuff, and I just concentrated on some of the more second tier characters like Daredevil and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and I picked this one up, and I read this last week, and I just looked through it again this morning or last night. And where we are at this point is this entire issue is really just like a talking head issue, but it was still absolutely fascinating to me. It makes me want to go back and read this stuff. Basically, what had happened is in the prior issues, they had captured the new Avengers at this point are Captain America, Iron Man, Luke Cage, Spider-Man, and Spider-Woman, as well as Sentry. So the prior issue that I didn't read, apparently they had captured Madame Hydra, and Steve Rogers ended up seeing Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, let her go, and then he was like Steve was falling to his death, and Spider-Woman managed to grab him before he hit the ground. So this whole issue is him like interrogating her and asking her what's going on. And what it ended up finding out is that she had lost her powers at some point in the past, and Hydra had offered her powers back if she went asked to start working for S.H.I.E.L.D. again to become a double agent. So what she's explaining to Steve is that basically, like, when they made her this offer, this isn't something that you can just say, oh, no thanks. It's basically you say yes or they kill you. So that's what she ended up doing. And they told her to go talk to Nick Fury, the original Nick Fury, see if she could get her status as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent back. And so she did. But what they didn't realize is that she told Nick Fury everything what was going on in terms of the blackmail with Hydra. So Nick Fury said, yeah, you know, go ahead and do this. We'll give you just enough information to keep you safe. And in the meantime, you can report on, you know, all of Hydra's goings on. And they said, we have to make sure that you stay safe and this is secure. So it's only going to be me, Nick Fury, and Jessica, the only ones that will know. Nobody else is going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So sure enough, they give her her powers back, and she starts doing the double agent thing. And then what ended up happening is Steve Rogers ended up being, of course, Steve also is associated with S.H.I.E.L.D. He ends up inviting her to this new Avengers team. Hydra finds out even before Jessica Drew does that she's going to be invited. And so there's absolutely no way that Jessica can somehow say no. So now she feels like she's got no choice but to join the Avengers team. But at the same time, she's endangering the Avengers because of Hydra, you know, thinks that she's a double agent.
Yeah, and then they could use her.
Exactly. So she's in a position where she can't turn it down because Hydra knows that she's being invited. Mm-hmm. And now she could, you know, she could pose a danger to her or teammates. So anyhow, they kind of hash all this stuff out. You think that the whole conversation is between Steve and Jessica, but really the rest of the Avengers were actually standing in the room off camera, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when they're done having their conversation, they all pretty much say, you know, Wolverine, they all say that, yeah, we think that she's telling the truth, that she really is, you know, on our side. And her phone rings and she puts it down and it's Nick Fury himself confirming all of this information. At the very end, something that I wasn't too sure about what was going on, some sort of weird thing on the top of Avengers Tower. It's like almost looks like mystical, but I'm not sure what it was, but it started glowing and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Basically,
was it Sentry's Dealey on top of Avengers headquarters at that time?
Is that what it is?
I thought so.
I wasn't reading anything at the time.
I think he had something going on up there.
That very well could be what it is. But, I mean, basically it announced itself to all of New York City. So now at this point, the new Avengers had been under the radar. Nobody knew that was a team. So now at this point, they're going to have to go and announce themselves. You know, right at the end, they're like, all right, kids, it's time for the world to meet the new Avengers. And that's going to be continued in the next issue. So anyhow, this was, like I said, there was absolutely no fighting or action. It was all, like, just exposition, but it was
told. And there doesn't have to be, as long as it's good.
It was really, really interesting. And, you know, I've had my ups and downs with Bendis. You know, sometimes I feel like he can write everyone with the same voice. Sometimes I don't feel like he differentiates individuals enough, but this one.
I had trouble with his Wolverine.
Did you?
That was the one that I think bothered me the most, or I just felt like it was out of character.
Yeah, I had some problems with some of the main Avengers titles back probably around this time frame.
It didn't feel like the Avengers, that's for sure. It felt like...
No. And that was my other problem, too.
It felt more like the Defenders. I mean...
I was always like the kind of like, you know, like an old-time fan, I guess, if you want to say. It really felt like a Wolverine and a Spider-Man doesn't really belong on the Avengers.
Oh, I agree. And also Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. I never warmed up to them. They're Avengers. They have Avengers cards. And I still, to this day, don't consider them Avengers.
I'm with you. And it's
weird. I just never... Like, even when they had, like, in the 60 Cent era, like, who's going to be the new Avenger? And then they show, like, all these floating heads, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
Spider-Man's always on it, and I'm
Of
like, he
course.
don't belong on there. Daredevil's not gonna be on there. It's like, hey,
And if you
how are they gonna function as a team?
if you read and I'm sure you did back in the John Byrne did some Avengers where they trialed Spider-Man, like Spider-Man was like helping them out for a
Yeah.
short period of time, and
Yeah.
they offered him the membership, and he's like, he's like, no, he's like,
Yeah.
I have too many things that
It's
I need.
like Black Lightning. Hey, you jive turkeys. I ain't gonna
Yeah,
join
there
the
you
Justice
go.
League.
That's a great cover of Justice League. I love
Jive turkeys.
that But yeah, so I mean, I'm in the same boat. It's probably, when we grew up reading these and stuff like that, they just don't feel like I never felt the Avengers should be like the Justice League, where it was all their top tier characters. I didn't feel like Spider-Man needed to be in the Avengers. So,
Yeah, Justice League I feel different about
I do
because
too.
they roster change dramatically. Like, and then some people say, hey, you can't have this kind of roster. But for me, some of the best stories are when they have the characters that they could get away with murder.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about what you do to certain characters, you
Oh,
know?
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like
So, yeah, I'm
Justice
on the
League
same page as you.
Elite, man, that's a fantastic comic book, and they have like maybe Green Arrow and a couple others, and they're all minor characters.
Yeah.
And that's
No.
when it's like, damn, these are great stories. They could get away with stuff. So
So
yeah,
that was another
I
reason.
enjoy this. And then Bendis did write the Spider-Woman series that went along with this.
Oh, did he? I didn't.
Yeah.
Again, that was like another one. I was getting probably less than 10 Marvel titles at that point.
Yeah.
I would say probably like maybe 8 titles. I was still getting all, a couple of the X-Men titles, like X-Men Uncanny X-Men. I was getting Daredevil, and
Well,
I'm not sure what else.
do you have like 15, 16, and 17 of this book, or just this is just
I
a random issue?
14 and 15 they happened to have, and that was it. Yeah, so I read both of
Does
those.
it make you want to go back, or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good
Yeah,
then.
it really does, because I mean, you get older and stuff like that, and you revisit this stuff. At the time when it's coming out 1 month at a time, I'm like, this is not. I don't feel like these are the Avengers. I don't want to keep spending money on this. I've got other things I need to buy. And then I go back and I reread these, like one after the other. I'm like, well, this was actually pretty interesting.
That's what happened to me with Hickman's Avengers. Like, when I was reading it off the shelf, I was like, I'm not enjoying this. It
It really is a
like
difference.
didn't have the character voice and stuff. It lost all the personality and the story was just big. Do you know what I mean? And I
Yeah.
was like, okay, I don't want to read this anymore. And then I got like I think what happened with those books, there was New Avengers and there was Avengers, and he was writing both of them. And I think what happened is I went to Albuquerque for the holiday, and all I had was my iPad. So luckily I had loaded all those Marvel codes that you refused to load,
I
and
don't
I
know what
was
you're
like,
talking about.
yeah, I was like
Yeah,
I can read Avengers, I don't care so much about this. I didn't buy it. I'll see where I left off. And I read like 10 of them back
yeah.
to back to back, and I'm like, "Holy crap." I read in the middle of the night and I like stayed up till 4 in the morning just alternating between the two titles because you kind of had to.
Yes, yes.
They were both big. And you had to like read them like switch, 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 switch.
Yeah, they're both telling like their own story, but they were still so interconnected that yeah,
Yeah.
kind of got to read them both.
So it was I got hooked.
Wow.
I got hooked, and then I went and I still haven't finished it to this day, but I went and bought the rest of it and put it in a long box. So I have them ready to read. I need to get back on it.
Yeah, well, they're so dense too.
Yeah, dense is good, but you have to be in the mood for dense
Yes, you
sometimes.
have to be ready to actually sit, take your time, and think about what
I
you're reading.
read some dense books, and literally a half hour each. Like,
Oh, I saw you posting
I was in half hour, and I was like, but I was hooked because it was World War II, and I was like, I love this shit. So yeah, that's where I focused a lot of my time.
Oh, not to give anything away, but that's the other thing that I got in these 50-cent sale too, is I got quite a few All-Star Squadron. I think I might almost have the full run now. I
Oh,
might have gotten everything
nice,
that I needed.
nice.
I still have
Yeah,
to
I think
inventory
I'm
everything
missing
so much.
number four. And the ones that I read are ones that I never read before. There were the missing
Oh, see, that's fun.
stragglers. Yeah, there was just a handful. I had like six issues I was missing, and I just started to. I had a box next to the couch, and I was like, these aren't even inventoried. And I was like, okay, let me go through them and see what's in there. And I was like, okay, they're just like. They're odd books that I ordered from my comic shop. I know when I was just going through Comic Base and say, I'm only missing one issue of this and five issues of
I
that. I'm just going to complete it.
know.
But I never inventoried it. I was bad with inventory until recently. Now I'm real anal. Like, it's the first thing I do. I put things in alphabetical order and then I inventory them into my database. So times have changed and I wish I could go back and switch the
I
logic I had
know
before.
that's what you need to do. It. So, I mean, I don't know if you ever have time for it, but you need to go through like everything that you didn't inventory already and get all that stuff in there.
Yeah, I just wish I had time. It just seems like the weekend I don't know, it seems to go by so fast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm so busy at work too, so it's like,
That makes it really tough.
yeah.
And that's where I get a lot of reading done is at work.
Yeah, I can't read it at work. That's weird. If I don't get out to lunch, I work during my lunch. But like, I try to at least go to lunch once or twice a week so I could get away. But the first book I want to cover is I read All Negro Comics. This I ordered a. I found out about it on a documentary. It was a History Channel documentary. I think it was Unleashed or Comic Books. I can't remember the
I
word.
can't remember what it's called either, but I watched it
Was
too.
only a two-parter, and
Yep.
they had a little segment about this publication, All Negro
I'm
Comics, and
so glad that you ended up reading this because I'm fascinated to hear
yeah,
what it was like.
I got fascinated because of what it was,
So
and
did you buy this?
I bought it, but not the original. They have a
Oh, okay.
reprint.
Oh, okay. I was
The
just wondering.
original is so hard to find, and you're gonna
Well,
spend
yeah, if you actually
10
found one.
grand or 5 grand on it, and they're not in good shape. You can
No.
imagine why, but 1947, and this is the first that I know of, and at least the first documented that I know of, that it was the first African American publication that was done by all African Americans. Like, this guy, Orrin C. Evans, and I don't know, like, in the Golden Age, they don't really credit everybody. I can't give you credits. All I know is that this guy's involved. He was a former reporter and editor of the Negro newspaper Field. Over a period of more than 25 years, he served on the African American newspapers in the Chicago Defender, the Philadelphia Tribune, and the Philadelphia Independent. And he decided to do a publication, to represent, because during like this time period, they weren't represented very well. So he's like, hey, we're just like you. We deserve a chance to write and draw about how we see ourselves and show you that we're just like you. And they came up with this All Negro Comics, and it was an anthology, like most of the DC and Marvel books at the time. Well, DC especially, like you'd have anthology, or you'd have like an All-Star Comics that would say it was the Justice Society, but it really was an anthology of two people teaming up throughout the whole book.
Right.
But what this was is it had a story about Ace Harlem that it was a detective story, and two guys with zoot suits basically come into this restaurant, barbecue place, and they kill the vendor, and the daughter walks in and she starts screaming. And these guys have like zoot suits. He's got like a zoot suit chain, and he kills the guy with the chain. And Ace Harlem is like a detective, and he's pretty slick. He comes in, he examines the stuff, and he finds this little totem that was on the chain, like a good luck charm. And he's like, "Hey, I know where that totem came from." And then he traces that totem to this one vendor, and he kind of rats him out. And these guys, these crooks, what did this one guy do? They basically went back to their apartment and started to divvy up the money. And one of the little guy, he started yelling at him, "Hey, you dummy! You had that chain, and they're gonna link it back to us." And so he got his chain and killed his own guy. You know, he killed him. And by the time Ace Harlem gets there, he's getting ready to leave, but they're on the stairwell. He chases him up the stairwell. They go on like near the stairwell and start fighting, and he pulls out his like zoot suit chain and actually chokes himself as he falls off the balcony. So it had like four deaths, and the one thing Ace Harlem says, he says, this is a very interesting case because it like solved itself. You know, like they ended up killing themselves. So it's kind of interesting. Then they had a little comic book was really weird. This is where it gets into fantasy, which is like a kiddie comic called The Doodillies, and it was about it's about these little black children that are like one's like an angel and one's like has the mermaidish thing, and they all like morphed with animals and such, and it just shows that they're like fantasies of a child, like what a child might fantasize about at this time. And then you get Lion Man. This one was interesting because at this time there's uranium and stuff going, you know, talks about nuclear bombs and stuff. I mean, well, they actually after it, so that's when like Captain Atom and a bunch of nuclear powered heroes came out. Well, Lion Man is a college educated scientist, but he dresses like an African, and he's on the African area where the uranium's mined, and he's trying to prevent these guys from getting their uranium. And he's got like this weird sidekick. He's not anything like I've ever seen. He's like a troublemaker instead of his name is Bubba, and he causes more trouble than like he's like Robin or any of the other sidekicks, except he's just like mischievous. He doesn't do any good. He just causes all kinds of problems. But they ended up getting away, and part of it was because of Bubba. You know, he just started shooting a gun that they had randomly, and they captured one of them, but the one guy got away. So that was interesting because it had the superhero and the sidekick, and the sidekick wasn't very good. Then they had a little cartoon called Little Eggy. This one was very interesting.
Little Eggy, huh?
Yeah, this one they call him Egbert, and it's all about this wife just yelling at her husband about not bringing enough money home.
Oh, geez.
And it was hilarious, but yeah, he said, "And you deceived me before our marriage. You said we were well off." And he goes, "I was." But he says, "I was, but I didn't know it." And then she starts throwing stuff at him, so
Yeah, it's
that was
the
kind of funny. I
end
liked it. It was entertaining. The other one was humorous too. It's called Sugarfoot, and he had a sidekick called Snake Oil, and there were musicians that would kind of like go from town to town, like hobos, if you will, like via train, and they ended up in this farm field, and they really need food and water. And there's this guy working the field, and they said, "Hey, we'll sing, we'll sing for you and provide entertainment if you give us some food." And he takes them down there, and he has like this really hot daughter, and they're all infatuated with the daughter, which is interesting. And they eat there, and then they do a little singing. What actually happened? They started dancing, and then the father ended up kicking them both out, and they're back on the road. But it was an interesting, like, hobo type story. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I really enjoyed it, and then it had some pros in there.
But
So
you know
yeah,
what's awesome about those is you're reading history.
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's something extremely important
Very,
beyond just
very,
being
very important,
entertaining.
because this is the first. This is like where it had all the creators were that. Like, unfortunately, I don't know who they are, so I can't point them out. And they're all
Right.
drawn differently, so I know that I would assume that they're four different artists, you know?
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know who. I don't know how to find out who they were.
That's
But
fantastic.
it's interesting. Like, the documentary said they found out a lot about this through one of his grandchildren, I think. So it would be
Very cool.
interesting to explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they had
Yep.
plans for other issues. Like it says,
Yeah.
find out what the next issue is, you know? They were all continued. Like Ace Harlem was like, see what happens next week when this happens, you know?
Yeah.
And never saw a publication. And the only
No.
reason they know is that I think the first one they got away with, and then the publishing, like the guys who did the printing presses, didn't like what they saw, and they didn't let them do any more.
It's just sad how petty people can be.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean that, those people that were in the position, like, for publishing and stuff. I mean, what are they scared? They're obviously scared. What exactly are they scared of?
There's
That
nothing
they.
to be scared of in this book. Other than if you
But.
want to suppress the race,
Right.
do you know what I
And that's
mean?
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's just like.
There's nothing offensive.
It's just.
Like they even like rode the line, like they could have made the white man the criminal, right?
Sure.
But
Yeah.
they didn't. They didn't. They kept it all black. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were telling their own
They were
stories.
telling their own stories, but they didn't make it like of race. They could have.
Yeah.
They could have made the criminals white. They weren't. So
It
like
just it
I
just
didn't find anything offensive about it. You know, I don't see how why they should, other than if they wanted to
Yeah, and
suppress them.
that's all it was.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And it's just and you wish you could say that things have I mean, obviously things have changed, but not as much as you'd like
Not
them to
as much
change.
as you should. You just have to go somewhere, right? And you see
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. I
Like
mean.
you even I always thought where I grew up it was a melting pot. I mean, it's highly Hispanic. There's quite a few, not quite a few. There's blacks, there's whites, there's a little bit of everybody. And when I was in college, my friend was black. Like she was the one that I studied with from freshman all the way to senior. And
Yeah.
one time she said, "Mike, she's like, you just don't understand." She said, and then she says, "I want to take you somewhere." She said, "Just go with me to this store and pretend you're not with me, okay? And see how they follow me around the store. Like they won't follow you, see how they follow me." And I was like, "God damn, shit, you're right." It's like
It's
so
crazy.
like it yeah, it's it exists, and people try to blind, put blinders on, but it's there.
Yeah.
And
And it's something I can I don't know what the word is. I can understand, like I can know that type of thing happens, but I can never really understand what it
no, you
feels
don't
like.
understand it. For one thing, we can never understand what it feels like.
No, it's impossible. You can't
But you can
understand how
see
that
it
feels.
and understand it.
Yeah, at least you can realize that it
You can
exists.
realize that it exists. And
That's all that you can do. And because I don't know. I've thought about that a lot. And like, you go into a, you know, I go into a store and somebody's acting like a jackass.
Yeah.
Well, I think the person is rude, right?
Right.
You know, if you know, one of my friends that's black goes in the same thing. Now, is the person just rude or are they racist?
Right.
You know what I mean? You're constantly just, you just don't know what, how, yeah, what people's motives are.
That's true.
It's
I can't imagine it, like, this book could have had so much potential to change the views of children. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
No, because kids absorb comic books. So, like, if they saw this
black
comic
and
book,
white,
and people, if they were able to read it, they would not see it in terms of color. Do you
That's
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
they
little,
said these are,
like,
these
younger
are stories
kids
of people, right?
Mm-hmm. Black and white kids.
Yeah.
They would, you know, they would have positive, you know, depictions.
Right.
Of black people on there that.
And
white,
I think I actually think that's what the fear was at this time.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I don't want my kid reading that.
Sure.
That's probably what, you know, these white people thought at the time. It's too bad.
But yeah, I was glad. I was really happy with. Let's see, these. It's S. Camilla Comics. They like do reprints of Golden Age comics, and it's really a nice thick cover stock, almost in the vein of who's that publisher? Vault. You know how they have those nice cover stocks?
Yep.
And it's like magazine size. Well, Golden Age books were big back then. I think this was probably close to what the size was. Maybe it's a little altered. But it's a nice reprint. Like, it doesn't look like, hey, somebody photocopied something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's
exactly.
A nice reprint, reproduction.
Where did you find that?
I found it online. I didn't read the reviews of the seller before I bought it, but there was a lot of negative reviews, and I was like, whoosh. I just pulled the trigger on that, and I lucked out. So
yeah.
I was happy to. And whoever was selling it must have had, they had said like 15 available or whatever. So I like ordered one right away because I knew I wanted to experience it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got it. Really nice copy.
That's really cool. I'm glad you covered that on here today.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
What do you got?
All right. What do I have? Let's see. All right. I bought this last week at my comic shop. They've had it there for a few months, and they put it back out, and I noticed it, and it's an Amazing Adventures number 11, and that is the first appearance of the Furry Beast.
Oh yeah.
So they had a nice fine copy they had up there, and you know, I've been going to that comic shop for, at this point, God.
Well, as an X-Men,
gotta be 30,
completed,
30,
you gotta
yeah.
have it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been like over 30 years I've been going to this comic book store, right? So he gave me a really nice deal on it. It's by the writer's Jerry Conway, and the artist is Tom Sutton. And I've never read this before. I don't know. Have you?
I thought I owned it, but I don't have it cataloged. So I'm pretty sure I have it. I have read it.
It was a good. It was a good issue. It's another one where
he's kind of like a gray toned, right?
Yes, he's. They actually describe the fur as black and silver.
Yeah.
So you know he wasn't
kind of like Moon Knight. Moon Knight was never white. He was silver.
Yeah, exactly. But it makes me want to read the short run that he had in Amazing Adventures, which looks like from number 11 to number 17. So really only 7 issues. But this first issue was pretty good. It jumps right into action where he's already a furry, you know, the beast, what do you call it, mode, I guess. And he's following this guy around the Brand Corporation, And I was actually wondering, I'm like, oh, did he turn into the Beast at the end of the prior issue or something? But, you know, he didn't even appear in the prior issue. So the first 8 pages of this is him tracking, following this guy and then beating him up. And then it kind of does the flashback with him leaving the X-Men. He's the first to go off on his own. He's gotten a job with the Brand Corporation and as a genetic scientist, and he's going to be able to do a lot of research and experiments and stuff. It's basically a dream come true for him. So he leaves the X-Men. He goes, sets up there, and after the person he directly reports to seems real shady. Mm-hmm. He wants to do his own thing. He doesn't want Hank to be anywhere near him and so on and so forth. But the guy who hired him is very friendly towards Hank McCoy, who is, you know, above both of them. So anyhow, Hank's just doing his own thing. And he finally, after months, he isolates some genetic material that if a regular human would actually ingest, they would form mutations for about an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And he's about to go talk about his findings when he walks by his direct superior's office and he hears his boss talking to some agent on the phone, and it's clear that this guy is working for like another government or something like that, or just a bad like group. So Hank starts getting into it with he sneaks away. And then what happens is he hears that at a certain time frame, he's hired this guy to come and steal some stuff from this reactor. So he feels he doesn't have enough time to warn anyone else. So he decides to take this this material that he's been able to isolate. He's like, well, I don't know what it's going to do to a person who's already a mutant, but he's like, all I need to do is take this and you know, within an hour later, I'll take the antidote and it will revert me back. So he drinks it and he becomes the furry, hairy beast that we know today. And then it picks up kind of where we had left off with him tracking down this guy who's trying to steal stuff in the Brand Corporation. And he basically hunts him down, and he's way too violent. He's surprised at his own actions because he's not used to his strength or ferocity. And the police, the campus police, come, and he starts throwing them around even too. And then suddenly he realizes that as part of this mutation that the time like felt like it was going slowly for him, but it actually was going much faster. And his hour had long passed. He goes back to his he goes and hides back in his own lab, and he realizes it's too late. He's now going to be this beast forever. And that was pretty much the whole first issue. It was very I really enjoyed reading this. I just read it this morning, and yeah. Like I said, I would definitely want to read the next 6 issues.
Just did you get a good deal on that?
Or very, yeah.
Expensive. That's
no. I got it.
Seems like his books aren't cheap. That's for sure.
Yeah, I actually this one it's a really nice fine condition, and I got it for $40. So,
That's good.
Yeah, you really.
I don't own it. I own 15 and 16. So
gotcha.
That was the Beast, but one of them has a nice Juggernaut cover though.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, so this was a lot of fun to read, and I've never read, you know, when he's changed. I mean, by the time I started reading comics, he was already in this form. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, only knew later that he was originally in a human form. So it was nice to finally read after all these years the issue where he changed from one to the other and how and why.
Yeah. Damn you for making me come to this page, though, because I'm missing some in humans, and that's my shit. So
yeah, it is. Yep.
I'm like, ah.
Yeah, now, that's now, right. Now I think number one, right? Number one all the way through 10.
Yeah, until Beast came, yep. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I know I own
Humans
them.
and Black Widow, huh?
I own them in trade format or collected edition, but I don't own them here. Shit.
The majority of them.
I thought I owned. I thought I owned all of them, including the Fantastic Four issues. But I guess I gotta do something about that.
Yeah, you do.
Damn this database.
Exactly.
Damn it.
This database is one of the best purchases I have made, though.
Yeah.
In terms of just not buying things twice and so forth.
Yeah.
Really is awesome to be able to reference that, like, on your phone and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I went down the rabbit hole of the All-Star Squadron. And I've always liked this title, but I was missing a few. Like I bought this one out of the, I think my first few issues were out of the drugstore when the spinner rack, and then I started collecting it at an actual comic store, but the spinner rack issues I was missing. So I was missing 3, 4, 8. 10, you know, some random issues, and I decided to read them. The first issue was amazing. The creative team, this is number 3.
Okay.
The creative team was Roy Thomas is, man, he's good with this historical stuff. I'm trying to, oh, Rich Buckler is the artist. I think he passed away.
He just, I think last
I just
month, right?
Saw the, I didn't even know he passed away until I opened up Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man and I saw they had an ad for him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, so, you know, it's weird that I'm reading a book that he did. But this was the third part. So I don't remember 1 and 2 very well, but I remember it had to do with Hawkman forming a team and kind of separating from the Justice Society. And I don't remember if it was because they wanted a domestic team, like within the United States, or what to fight the war. I don't know the reason. I did at one time, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember either. This is one that I'm trying to complete a whole run on, and then I'm going to read the whole thing. But I haven't read most of these since they were originally published.
But, It is pretty cool. They have Robot Man. This is a different Robot Man than the Doom Patrol. Mm-hmm. Johnny Quick. Plastic Man was on the team, which he really kicks ass in this. In this series, they made him an FBI agent.
Huh.
And I don't know how he has a more serious tone like Joe Kelly's Justice League. So he's more heroic and not as witty as we're used to seeing him with Wizzy Winks and stuff.
Yeah.
But the villain is Perdegaton, and it's really fascinating history-wise. So, you know, I just talked about a comic book that came out in 1947, but this has to do with 1947. Perdegaton traveled back in time from 1947 to 1941, right around the time of Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor was invaded, and what he did is he brought a bunch of villains with him, including Solomon Grundy and what is the guy's name? Wotan, who's like a mystic guy that used to fight Dr. Fate and Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like a green face. A guy mm-hmm. I've never heard about. Which I did look him up. Actually, this I didn't need to look him up because in number 3, it's got a fact file at the back. It's got Professor Zubar Zodiac. He only had one appearance, but he was like a scientist guy that fought the Justice League, and he only appeared in All-Star Comics number 42 of 1948. Solomon Grundy it had, who we all know, and Sky Pirate, who was a Green Lantern villain. He brought these guys from different points in time to fight with the Nazis. And he plucked them in. So like in 1941, they could attack the United States. You know how We were attacked via Pearl Harbor, but we weren't attacked domestically. And he had a bunch of Japanese Zeros heading towards the coast of San Francisco to go dive bomb and kamikaze it and destroy the naval bases that were there and such. And so he was really trying to turn the tides of the war because he already knew the outcome. So he was trying to add more to Pearl Harbor, bring these villains here. He had like this submarine on the coast of California that he was using that was going to help him. And that's where he had Solomon Grundy, Wotan, and that Zodiac guy. And they had captured Sir Justin, the Shining Knight. This has a lot of Shining Knight. It's pretty badass because, like, even Wotan blasts him with stuff and his sword absorbs it, like his mystical sword. And their hor his horse, Winged Victory, kind of like saves them. He's like protecting an archaeologist that they name her, and he's like protecting her as Solomon Grundy, and everybody's going after her. But they get saved. All of the Justice Society Wotan took out. And I'm talking about Justice Society Plus. This had a Batman, it had a Superman, it had a Wonder Woman, and they clearly make it clear at the beginning of this issue, it's Earth 2. Like they don't want to confuse you. You read the first caption, they're saying this is World War, it's happening now. This is where we are in the 40s with Earth 2. They're in the 40s. But it has like Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Starman. I mean, you're talking about Starman recently. It has all the bit heavy hitters. They're all taken out. And I don't think they get revived in this issue. Oh, they do get revived because they get the Spectre involved. Wotan and Zodiac decide to go off on their own instead of help Perdegaton. They have a cool scene too with Robot Man. He's like throwing cannonballs from an old museum at the kamikaze pilots. It's pretty bad.
That's
He's like
awesome.
taking them out of the sky while they're invading. Hawkman, like, and they're not they're no joke. They're killing people left. Like, this is wartime. Like, Hawkman goes to a kamikaze pilot and he gets out his mace. And he just rips the whole plane apart. Like, he just, bam! And you don't see anybody like in the G.I. Joe cartoons with the parachutes ejecting. They're dead. They do the, what is the Colossus Wolverine throw the fastball special? They do their version of the fastball special where Robot Man throws Johnny Quick onto a plane and he disassembles it in midair. It's pretty awesome. So the Shining Knight thinks, hey, he escapes just barely from the submarine. They like tear a hole in the sub. It starts flooding it. Solomon Gurney's drowning. They seal it because they have, you know, Wotan has the ability, all these magical abilities that are unexplainable, but he's actually able to seal it. And they escape and they go to the island where all the Justice Society is. And he thinks his magical sword, if he taps Superman or whatever, it'll break the trance that they're under. And he can't. And Perdegaton's going to destroy the island where they're at. So he actually starts a volcano starts it erupting because he wants to kill the Justice Society. He's saying, "I'm foiled. You know, they stop my attack of the mainland, but I at least am going to kill the Justice Society." So he's going to destroy the island, but Spectre comes in, and you know, Spectre is no joke. He's like God's right-hand man. He's pretty powerful. He comes out of the sky and eventually saves all of the Justice Society. And then it has Adam in there, the little guy. He's power. He's not. He doesn't have any powers. He doesn't shrink like our Adam. He just a Al Pratt is just, you know, he can
Crap.
fight. He's just a good fighter. But they have a cool scene too where Plastic Man forms himself into a torpedo, and they like penetrate that sub, and it kind of like for one thing, he encases them all within him so they don't drown, and that's how they penetrate the sub, the Justice Society, to take down Perdegaton. And Perdegaton at this time knows that he's defeated, and he the only way he could get out of it is to take himself back to 1947, and that's how he gets out of it. And then he returns all of the other people back to their time periods. So all the other villains, they get absorbed. And it's highly in continuity because, and I'm not talking about continuity of DC Comics. I'm talking about Golden Age continuity. Like, it'll say, like, Solomon Grundy was in space here. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, Roy Thomas is absolutely insane with that, because I encountered a lot of that in the Infinity Inc. run that I read too.
Yeah,
just, you know, because he used a lot of those classic, you know, JSA characters as well. So it was really interesting.
And I don't want to cover all of them, but I just want to mention that I also read number 8, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but this was when they were saving Winston Churchill. They were in Canada saving him, and that was really cool because they introduced this guy, Kung, and they had this other villain that were Nazis, and they were trying to assassinate Winston Churchill and the Justice Society. Liberty Bell and Sir Justin and Johnny Quick were actually trying to stop the assassination, and the only reason they were able to was Steel, the Indestructible Man, who's always, you know, he appears in Legends of Tomorrow now, too. Steel has always been one of my favorites, just because of his costume, really. Because I picked up his series back off the spinner racks just because I'm like, who's this? This looks cool. And the interesting thing about this one is they had the DC implosion back around this time. And the Steel comic was going on, and they canceled it after issue 5, and they had 6 and 7 done. So they stuck parts of 6 and 7 into this comic. So it has, like, historical significance, because it has his origin story. He actually does save the day, but he does get defeated, and they put him into, like, a coma of some sort. But really cool stuff. There's also, in one of the issues I read, a really cool scene, because this has to do with your Starman. Starman and Hawkman actually joined the military so they could fight. I don't know if it was because of the Spirit of Destinies, because they couldn't get into there. But they could fight as they could join the Air Force and actually fight and feel like they were helping.
I had no idea.
So they actually joined. And there's a scene in there where... I can't remember if it was Baron Blitzkrieg or whatever, but there was this alien, which they didn't introduce it. There's this alien ship for some reason. I don't know what their motives or whatever, but the spaceship was coming that was formed as an eyeball, and it was zapping all the equipment, like planes and ships and everything, and it was disabling their technologies. And they were flying to San Francisco, the B-52 bombers, before going to war. And he zapped the planes, and one of the planes was going to crash. And Hawkman's like, well, I don't have the strength to lift this plane. But he was actually, as Hawkman, flying near him, because he was like, hey, you know, I like to fly. I'm in the Air Force, but they won't let me fly a plane. so I'm out here flying alongside him, but he belongs to the military, but he can't fly a plane.
Right.
But Starman used his leverage with FDR, or one of the presidents, and they gave him they put him as a pilot immediately. So he's in the ship. He's actually in one of the B-52s that wasn't getting knocked out of the sky, and he has to leave. So he leaves the partners that's flying the plane. He's like, what are you doing? We're getting attacked, and you're leaving? And he goes to the back of the plane, and Starman gets his cosmic rod. He changes. He blasts his way out of the plane and then reseals it and then saves the plane from crashing with his gravity rod. So... And Hawkman's there, and he attacks the eyeball ship. So, yeah, there's some really cool shit in here.
That is cool.
I mean, I just love this stuff. And they're dense. They're literally a half hour, and that's like one read through. You're not just like absorbing a page. You're reading constantly.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I know that even some of like the Infinity, when I was reading those, I read some on my lunch break. I'd like, grab four of them, and
Yeah, you only
I'd be,
finish one.
yeah, I'd finish one or two, and then that would be it. I'm like, I don't have time to read anymore. And
Yeah.
this isn't like a modern comics where I could read probably six in an hour if I wanted to.
And I'm a sucker for Solomon Grundy. I've always liked that character.
Yeah, me too.
And his hate, it's so cool in this because his hatred, like, he just hates Green Lantern so much. And he knows that these costume heroes like have to do with Green Lantern, and he's just mad at them because they're costume heroes and they have they're related to Green Lantern in some form. Like if he they didn't have a relationship to Green Lantern, he probably wouldn't have cared.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, I've got one more. Let me just pull it up. All right, open it up. All right, so I'm gonna read, or I'm gonna cover Iron Man number 113 from the first volume, obviously. Bill Mantlo was the writer, and Herb Trimpe was the guest penciler.
I like him.
I'm not sure who the regular penciler had been. But what we see here is it's opening up on a press conference where Tony Stark is introducing the new Stark International, and it has a full two-page spread of the whole layout of his new headquarters here. Highlights all the different things that he has. Apparently, he had recently been having some sort of adventure with Jack of Hearts, because Jack of Hearts is actually there on the stage as well. Yeah, but he quickly says goodbye to him, and Jack of Hearts takes off, and they make it a point to say that he'll be showing up in Marvel Premiere very shortly.
I'm a sucker for that character, Jack
Jack
of
of
Hearts.
Hearts?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just his look
Yeah.
appealed to me when I would first see him like on the newsstands. I'm like,
Yeah.
oh
Do
my God,
you
who is
own his miniseries, that 4-issue one?
this? I think I only have the first issue that I just
Wow.
happened to find at a flea market or something like that, but I've never picked up the rest. Have you read the whole thing?
I have, yeah. And he played a big part. I can't remember if it was in the Geoff Johns run. That's when they killed Scott Lang first. He's in that run.
Oh, really?
The
No, I don't think
I
I've
think
read
it's
that.
Avengers Disassembled. Yeah.
Oh, is that towards the end of
Yeah,
Avengers? Okay, then I have read it. I
before
just don't.
New Avengers starts. Yeah, I think it's
Yeah.
towards that.
I don't even recall that at
Yeah.
all.
Because that's when they start killing Avengers, and they
Yeah,
take
like
out
I
Scott
remember
Lang.
that.
Jack of Hearts is one of
Wow. I don't remember Scott Lang dying. That's
And
weird.
he, Bill Mantlo, may be the creator of him because he wrote that many too.
Yeah, I
I
bet you
don't
he
know.
is. Well, in this one, so Madame Mask is also there, which kind of threw me off, because not really up on this era of Iron Man, but
But you're aware she's a huge Iron Man villain, right?
villain, yeah. So
Yeah.
why is she standing there up on the podium next to Tony Stark? Well, it kind of surprised me. But they went back to his
Well, didn't they have a love affair though
and
at one
that
time?
exactly, yeah. And
Yeah.
she knows he's Iron Man, because they go to his private, his private office, and he's just they start kissing and stuff like that, and then he's like, well, I guess Iron Man should show an appearance, show that he's doing some work around Stark International today. And she's like, all right, I understand. I'll wait for you here at the penthouse. And he starts flying around, and there's an explosion. So he goes and checks it out, and it's the Unicorn. Now, the Unicorn is somebody's like talking to him that he can only hear, I guess, through his helmet or whatever. But it definitely makes it seem to Iron Man like he's crazy, because he's just and it's more that he's talking to somebody. He's like repeating everything that the person tells him to do. So it's quite clear that he's like kind of hypnotized to attack Stark International. So Iron Man comes and he starts fighting him, and it's quickly clear to Iron Man that he's not, that Unicorn's not fully in control, that he's not quite sure what's going on. And Iron Man's kind of hesitant to use all of his strength against the Unicorn, because he's not quite sure if once he defeats the Unicorn, if there's going to be somebody else coming right up, even more powerful, that is actually in control of the Unicorn. And sure enough, you actually see that there's somebody off on an island using a scanner to see what's going on between the Unicorn and Iron Man, and he's talking. He's the one talking to Unicorn, telling him what to do. So there's not a lot to this particular issue. It's just one that I picked up at the con last month that I didn't already own. So basically what happens towards the end is Iron Man, the Unicorn grabbed a truck and is using his horn to magnetically pull towards Iron Man. He thinks Iron Man doesn't know that it's coming up behind him. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, Iron Man grabs like a monorail, one of the cars from a monorail, and he starts pulling that through a gravitational field from his chest armor towards the Unicorn. So Unicorn thinks that Iron Man doesn't know that this truck is behind him, but he does. So basically what happens is Iron Man just ducks out of the way, and Unicorn gets smashed in between this truck and this monorail car that was coming up behind him. And he knocks him out. So he's like, all right. He's like, well, I think we're through with you, but now I got to figure out who's actually been controlling you. And you seem many miles away. No, Iron Man, the Unicorn might still prove useful, but this game isn't over yet. And he flies away. So you don't know quite who is behind this whole attack. But, you know, it was an interesting issue. It was a fun issue to read. But like I said, there wasn't a ton to it. It was just basically the announcement at the beginning. You also find somebody actually trying to get into a safe in Stark International that you're not quite sure what that's about. It's only a two-page little interlude. And then it picks up with the action between Iron Man and the Unicorn for the remainder of the issue. But it was really an enjoyable read. I don't have a lot of Iron Man during this time frame. I do have 113 through 117, except for 116. Mm-hmm. So I have a few in a row there that I could pick up and keep reading. But I really don't. Actually, I'm not missing all that much. I'm missing a few here or there. But I seem to have 120 all the way up to the last issue of that first volume. So I guess I could get just a few more and I'd have this 113 all the way up. So
yeah, maybe I have almost a full run, but I'm missing like from 110 to, I don't know, 130 or so.
Yeah.
I have one through 100. So
you
like
do?
The harder
wow.
ones I have.
Yeah. At the time, like years ago, I had, God, I don't even know what number it was, probably in the 190s. And then a while back, I pretty much filled like my run from 150 and up, and then I kind of went backwards. So now I have like 120 and up.
Yeah.
But below that 113, I probably only own like maybe 7 or 8 issues.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more. Now I'm looking, it's probably a little bit more. It's probably like 15 to 20. Issues, but like my lowest issue is issue 24, and that's, you know, just one that I randomly found that's probably in really poor shape, but that, you know, it was just something that I found to read.
Yeah.
But I have hardly anything between number 1 and 100.
Yeah,
it was fun.
If I didn't have that squirrel thing, I would stay focused, but like, my Daredevil run has almost been done since my college days. That's how close. Like, I just never made progress on it, and I think by pulling the gun on the one and two that I think I'll finish it now.
Yeah, I feel like,
I'm
I
so
mean, once you've done
close.
that, got it. Now you
But
got it.
that means I have
Got the art.
everything, every Daredevil comic ever published.
Right, which is, I mean,
Yeah, it's pretty
that's awesome.
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I have every Black Panther, so.
You know what
Oh
I did
no, I do
years?
not. I don't have a few Jungle Actions. I need to
Oh,
start doing a
that's
few
right.
Jungle Actions.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
You know what I did about 10 years ago? I went on eBay, and I don't even know what possessed me to do it. Maybe I was reading the current. Remember when Black Panther took over Daredevil for
Yeah.
a little bit? It
Yeah.
was called like Black Panther, The Man Without Fear.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's
Yeah,
interesting.
around
That's
that
one thing
time
that I
frame.
kind of forgot about, but he was there.
it was pretty good too.
Yeah.
But at that time frame, I just went on eBay and I just bought copies of Fantastic Four 52 and 53,
Yeah.
and these were, they were like,
They
I would
were
say the
affordable
greatest comic
back
book.
then, yeah.
Yeah, and it was probably like very good condition and stuff like
Yeah.
that. I spent like $50, maybe even a little less than that. But I mean, definitely well worth it now when you think about,
Yeah.
now even a very good copy is going to cost you probably $200. So
I
I'm glad I bought
I
it.
bought my copy almost in conjunction with when Christopher Priest launched his run in Marvel Knights.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was
Yes.
still affordable.
Yeah.
Now the movie and everything has jacked
Yeah. Now,
that thing beyond belief.
yeah, you can't. You're gonna pay
It's
hundreds.
already been bad, like just because he was in the Captain America movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was glad that I actually. It usually doesn't happen to me like that. Usually, I end up like, oh, I still need that one, and then. Somebody's in a movie and I have to pay way more than I should have, like if
Yeah,
I just
my smartest purchases ever were in college. For some reason, I went in this first appearance thing, like, and I bought like a bunch of first appearances, which were a lot of money back then, but I'm so glad I did it because everything that I bought like is
it's probably
ten
nothing.
times the value of what it is now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was
Yeah.
going to say. Might have been expensive, but not like it would have been
Not
if
like
you'd
it is now, yeah.
have. Yeah. Like the Falcon is the perfect example for me. I had wanted that issue for years,
Yeah.
and then of course I never bought it. Then he was in Captain America. It shot up in price, and I only just bought it last year.
Well,
You know,
I
that's what
bought
I
that one
usually do.
fairly recently. It's within the last decade for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, if you managed to get it before that he appeared in the movies, you probably got a better deal than I would have.
Yeah.
But even so, I got a pretty good copy for about $150. Isn't
Yeah, that's
terrible.
pretty cool. I like to read those stories.
Yeah, it's fun to read their
When it
first
was
appearance.
Captain America and Falcon.
Yes.
He started off as a bad guy too, didn't he?
Yeah,
He
yeah,
was a
yeah.
Red Skull possessed kind of thing.
Yep, with his green
So,
costume.
yeah, with his green costume.
So I actually
He
kind of.
he's always he's another character that just like costume-wise has always appealed to me. Like when I got, as a kid, this is in the 70s, when I got my Mego Falcon, like I was in heaven.
Yeah.
Like I had my Captain America and Falcon and I played with those toys like I still have them. They're in good shape too, especially my Falcon, but cuz Cap has the stickers and the stickers always ruin with time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
But
nothing's better to me than the Falcon's white and red costume. I
yeah,
just
I love
absolutely
that
love that thing.
costume. It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
I just Harlequin. Go in or out. But yeah, I have that Mego doll. My two favorite Mego dolls are the more obscure ones, Green Arrow and Falcon.
Nice. I don't have any. I had maybe two or three when I was a very little kid, but I don't have any anymore. I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
I was like under the age of 5. So I have no idea what happened to them.
Well, I just have one more comic I'm going to mention too, though.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm going to do it in like a speed form, though. I'm not going to break them issue by issue. I read Green Arrow number 110, and this is another issue I was missing in my collection. It was like the only one I was missing in that collection. It was where Connor, Hawk, and Kyle do the Heart Traveling Heroes thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that's really interesting is if you go back to the Neil Adams days with Dennis O'Neill, they traveled to Desolation, which was a town of racism, and it was a very political comic at that time.
Right.
And now the kids, if you will, well, Kyle's not a kid to Hal or anything, but he, in terms of legacy, he is. They're traveling to Desolation in search for Kyle's father. And it's a weird town, man. It's not like it was before, where race was a big thing. It was it's turned into a lawsuit place where people just sue themselves, like a town of lawyers. It's almost like a ridiculous thing now. And they arrive and they're considered outsiders. So yeah, obviously the police are after them, and they're just there to try to find out what happened to Kyle's father. And he sends like a mercenary after both of them, not to kill him, but to capture him. The father does, and that's where this issue ends. And I don't remember the other issues, but it makes me want to read it. But this was Chuck Dixon, and the artist was Rodolfo DiMaggio, and really cool cover. I like it.
Very cool.
And a lot of flashback scenes that were awesome between Connor and Ollie, which I really enjoy.
Because, yeah, I wasn't reading any of those Green Arrows at that point.
When they got introduced, Ollie didn't know that Connor was his son, so that's what made it really interesting.
Oh, sure.
They found that out later. And he just having a conversation with them, like, for some reason they ended up in the monastery together. And he's telling Connor, you know, I always wish I had a son. I kind of have one in Roy. But it's not the same. It's not my blood. And he's with his son right there, and he doesn't know it. But yeah. He's like, I always wanted to have a kid with a Black Canary. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then I read Young All-Stars number 25, and I swear it feels just like All-Star Squadron. A matter of fact, it opens up with Hawkman and Hawkgirl in the Atom, and they're talking about how the president, and this is in 1942, allowed the Young All-Stars to do something to protect the United States instead of get the older ones involved. And they're pissed off about it because they're having to protect the borders of the entire United States. Because Baron Blitzkrieg is attacking. He's a big player in All-Star Squadron. He was attacking in the books that I was reading. But he's attacking with the Access America. And Access America was a bunch of superheroes that fight for the Axis. You have, and I can't pronounce half of these, but there was Uber Mensch. And,
yeah, I think that means like Superman, right?
Yeah, he's like the Superman counterpart. But the interesting thing is, they start to form a, you know, Iron Munro was one of the Young All-Stars. The Young All-Stars consisted of Iron Munro, Flying Fox, Dynamite, Dan the Dynamite, Fury, which was the Wonder Woman counterpart. Iron Munro was kind of the Superman, except he can't fly. Neptune Perkins was kind of your Aquaman. And they had Sandy, Tigress, and Tsunami.
Tsunami, yeah.
Tsunami though was originally part of the Axis, I think,
What?
America.
Was she? Yeah, because
Yes,
she's Japanese, right?
I think she was originally a bad person, and then became a good person.
I
But
have issues 1 through 12 of this, except for 11, and then I stopped buying it back in the day. I wonder if I probably need to pick up the rest of
But
these.
the interesting thing about this is that guy that's the German counterpart to Superman, he makes it like Baron Blitzkrieg says, go kill your brother. Like, he could have killed him, but he like holds off because he's trying to find out from Ian Munro if they're related. He thinks they're related. They have the same father. So he doesn't want to kill his brother. So it's really interesting. And then the fight turns where Ian Munro's beating him to a pulp. And Gudra, who's a Valkyrie warrior, saves Ubermensch, saying, hey, if you kill him, don't kill him because I love him. And he's in return, I will restore the health of Tigress because they had killed Tigress. So she actually brings Tigress back to life because she has that ability, I guess, because she's a Valkyrie who take warriors from war to Valhalla. She's like not letting her into Valhalla. She's bringing her back to life. And then they had Fledermaus, who's a bat. He's the counterpart to Robin. Grosshorn Ool, who's the great horned owl. He's the counterpart to Batman. Seawolf, who's their counterpart to Aquaman. Ysil, who's kind of like the Italian archer, who's Green Arrow. Sumu, the samurai. Tsunami, that's the one that we're just talking about, later joins the All-Stars, and Kamikaze, who's my favorite one because he's like a human missile. He's like Bullet Man. But this whole issue is them. They actually, the America Access actually captures all the scientists. We're talking about Einstein, Ober, all the nuclear bomb guys,
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, and they connect them to a contraption that is actually a bomb. So the young All-Stars have to free the scientists in this issue, and it's a huge fight scene. And it was actually fascinating because, man, it felt because it takes place around the same time as Young All-Stars, so it's like it felt like I never left the book, even though it's a different title.
See, that's what I'm thinking is that if I just read all of Infinity Incorporated. If I'm gonna read All-Star Squadron 2, I kind of have to, and it's not like there's so many issues for this one either, you
No,
know?
there's not that many.
And so I kind of feel like I'm gonna have to pick that up as well. Because I'm only missing, well, I mean, how, I don't even know how far it went up. I don't have it in front of me anymore. But, you know, I think it only lasted like 30 issues or something like that. So I have 1 through 12, so it wouldn't be that hard to get the rest of them. And it wouldn't be that expensive to get the rest of them either.
Yeah, they're only 31 and one annual.
Yeah, I've got the annual. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that'll be my next hunt. Let's just get the rest of those. I'm always looking to get the most bang for my buck, too. So I'm
Yeah.
not spending tons of money these days on comic books. Because it's kind of hard with the kids. You know, I mean, you actually inspired me a little bit in terms of buying some of these issues because I was a while back I was really I don't know what it was. I felt like I needed to get like near mint copies of books,
Yeah.
at least very fine plus and up. And I'm like, really, why do I need them in the best condition ever? I'm not going to be selling them.
Especially for books that aren't like they're not worth that much anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but even like this Amazing Adventures that I read.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 5 years
Oh
ago,
yeah, a VG is perfect for that book, you know?
5 years ago, I would have said, well, you know, the Queen City would have had it at my comic book store, and I've been like, oh, I'm not going to buy that. But
Yeah,
look at
it's
the
not.
grade in that one.
Yeah.
Now it's like I can buy this and read this for $40
Yeah.
Instead of buying something that's going to be $300 or $250. You know what I mean? It's like it's perfect timing. I got to say, just like hearing you and talking to you and listening to your podcast and stuff really encouraged me to do that. But it was the perfect timing too.
Now because I've got twins. I need to encourage you to tear off those stickers.
I don't want to do that, Mike.
You can do it. You'll say thank you in a couple of years when
I know, right?
You want to reread something and it's on your iPad and you can say, I can say, hey Rob, check out issue 14 of this. Oh, well, let me just pull it on my iPad real quick instead of having to.
No, but it is the perfect timing because when you have 2 4-year-olds, things are only getting more, you know, you're not buying diapers, you're not buying it, but the things that they're going to want are going to get more and more expensive. And
comics that are old are going to get more expensive. Comics that are the hot item that are new, those ones will fluctuate.
True.
That's all driven by the speculator market.
Yeah.
Like your baby teeth, for example. Like I bought it for $5. And the shipping is going to be like $5 or $6, right? But they're like selling it for buy now $45.
Oh yeah. It's crazy.
But if you wait like 6 years, nobody's gonna care about baby teeth, and that cover will be $5.
Even the I got that lenticular cover one that like goes back and forth between like an angel and a devil. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one. No.
Yeah. So I got, if you want, take a look at my Twitter feed later. I posted a short video like showing you the different views.
Yeah.
But so anyhow, you know, I got that, but I got it from the artist, and the back of the comic has like a ding on the back corner.
Yeah.
So he charged me $10. But otherwise, they're going for like $30 or $40.
Yeah.
He can't let them go. You know, one that's absolutely in the condition, he can't let them go for less than $30 or $40 because people are going to pay him that much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, he gave me a deal on that one because there's a small bang on the,
right,
on the back.
Right, because he knows as a seller that if he sells it like that, somebody's going to bitch. You know what I mean? Because a lot of those people are slabbers. Like, they're going to slab the damn thing.
Right, and they're going to get an 8.5 for it. Or an 8.0.
An 8.0, 8.5, and to them, that's crushing. If you're not a 9.5 or higher, that's your death.
Exactly.
Cry that's exactly dramatically.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, so I did okay with that one, but you're absolutely right. Otherwise, you know, you spend $30 for it, and a year later, it's worth
now
$5.
Barb wants to spill coffee on your baby teeth.
Why?
Hey, woman. Hey.
Why does she want to do that? That's not nice.
Because it's on the table. It's on table.
So she wants to spill coffee on my comics.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It just happens to be in front of her coffee. drink at least a little bit so I feel better. That looks like a disaster waiting to happen, dude.
Oh, it's so funny.
All right.
You guys had a wild night last night.
Yeah.
I saw on Facebook.
Yeah, I worked on the yard and I passed out. And I was literally out. Like, I couldn't I couldn't wake up until like 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. And then I just read for an hour.
Very nice.
Yeah. And usually
you got anything else?
No, that's it. We have questions though from Daryl.
Oh, good.
Let's
do some questions. I saw you posted something, but I didn't at the time. I didn't see anyone respond.
Yeah, Barb was nice enough to say, "Hey, Daryl sent you questions," or I wouldn't have seen them.
Cool.
Daryl says, "The oldest comic you won't rest until you buy one day."
Mm-hmm. I have an answer.
Interesting one.
Mm-hmm. And I have a go-to answer too, which is great because sometimes I have to sit here and think about it.
Yeah.
Mine is very obscure. Hang on, I'm going to bring up I want to make sure I get the number right. because I haven't researched it recently. So let me just take a quick look here in my database. Make sure. Yeah. Okay. So what mine is I want some at some point to own Adventure Comics number 67. I don't care. It's probably going to be like, I'll probably get it and, you know, like a Very Good or something like that. It's going to run me a couple hundred dollars. Adventure Comics 61, I will never own. It's the first appearance of Starman back in the Golden Age. Okay. There's no way I would ever be able to own that. However, Adventure Comics number 67 is a Starman story that has the first appearance of the Mist, which is his arch enemy, and is prominently featured in the Jack Knight one, as his daughter becomes the second Mist. So ever since I kind of read that, you know, the Jack Knight series, I've always wanted Adventure Comics number 67. The problem is you can very rarely find it being sold anywhere. And when I do, it's at this point been out of my price range. It's been like very fine. And I'm not willing to spend that much on it. I want to spend like $300 or so. Yeah, I don't want to spend $1,000.
Well, even in the condition you want it, you're going to probably get it for $500.
Yeah, which I can do.
Or $600 because of the – not a lot of vendors are going to bring that book.
That's right.
I mean, you'll probably find the other one more, which is going to be a lot more expensive.
My best bet to finding it is probably not even at cons. It's like at auctions, whether it's Comic Link or Heritage or something like that.
Yeah.
But then who knows what it would end up.
Yeah, but with those, if you always go with the strategy, like, I'm only going to bid this much. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm willing to pay. Maybe sometime you'll luck out because people aren't going to pay attention.
Yeah. To what we were talking about before, a lot of people just want, like, and obviously this is an old book, but they might want like a 6.0 or above, and I'm willing, definitely, I'd like, you know, I could get a 3.0 or, you know, a 4 or whatever. I'd be perfectly happy with an ungraded copy that's you know, a very good or a very good minus or something like that. Something where it's not falling apart.
Right.
Beyond that, I don't care.
Most of these, though, every time I see these, they're slabbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would buy it. I would buy it slabbed.
And that, but
I could get it. But that
adds an additional $200-$300, right there.
But it depends too, because when you're buying a slabbed one, it's that low of a grade. Some people might actually prefer an unslabbed that somebody's saying is that grade with the intention of maybe checking it out, pressing it or something like that, and sending it in for a higher grade than what they're saying it's for.
Yeah.
So it all depends. But, I mean, at some point, I would like – that's definitely my answer. That's an old issue from the 40s. I would absolutely love to have that someday. Who knows about – you know, ever be able to find it.
You might go with my approach. Let me just throw this at you.
Sure.
I'm doing the same thing with the Freedom Fighters. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the first appearances of the characters are way, way out of my range. So what I'm targeting is just to have copies of one of the Golden Age comics of every one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like I only have two left. I have quite a few Dollmans. I have Uncle Sam, a couple Nationals, Police Comics, which you got the Human Bomb and Phantom Lady. And now I just need Smash Comics to get the Black Condor and Crack Comics to get the Ray. And then I have an issue of every Freedom Fighter. So if you could like obtain a comic of the Golden Age Starman,
or one with the Mist in it,
too. You might be able to get a better graded one and at a more affordable cost.
That's not a bad idea.
You could say, hey, I still have this, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed
with these books. You kind of have to strategize. Like, we all want full run of Batman, right? But like that ain't gonna happen, right? So,
Right.
but you could say you have a full run if you have the archives, right? I mean,
Yeah.
you might not have the like print. You have print copies of every Batman comic ever published, but like 1 through 100 are in the archives, right?
Right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's something that I definitely will keep. Like I have searches set for a lot of those sites and stuff that I will always take a look to see if it ever becomes available.
Yeah.
But I like your idea as well.
I would
I
love to
might
go
be able to find
shopping
some.
with you at a con. I think we'd have a blast.
Oh, I think so
I
too.
think
I
it would
think
be
I'd be
so much
very
fun.
jealous of a lot of your purchases,
I think it would be so fun though
though.
because we could have similar strategies and just look and
Yep,
say, "Hey,
exactly.
I found this. I found that."
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it
So
would be a lot of fun.
well, obviously I just mentioned the two that I want. I want to get a Smash comic and a Crack comic. I looked this time too, and everything that I found for Smash was either before Black Condor or after Black Condor. And I found one Crack comic, but it was a little bit worse condition than I wanted it,
Yeah.
and it was too high for the condition that I wanted it, at least that I wanted to spend.
And that's
So
the other thing too, is that you have to consider, well, how much is somebody asking for the condition? You might not care that it's in that condition, but if they
yeah.
want a lot of money for it, then it's just not worth it.
Yeah. So those are the two Golden Age, but my two books I would like to have in my collection that are more contemporary is I want The Amazing Spider-Man with Punisher. Was it 128?
129.
129.
Yeah, I actually own that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
it's
want.
not, it's not in the best condition, but
And
it's good.
I almost pulled the plug on it, but I decide and it's a bad idea not to, especially if the TV show's coming. It's
Right.
only gonna go worse,
Yeah,
but
because you know how hot it's been over the years in the first place, but.
yeah. So that's one I'd like. And then the other one is Wolverine, but that one's really high too.
Which, what, 181 of
Yeah,
Hulk?
181, yeah.
Yeah.
180 is has a little piece of him in his shadow, but
Yeah. You know, and that's
I have
actually.
seen that one at my shop. Like I've seen it.
I was at a panel last month where
It
they were
was just
talking about
slabbed, and
that.
slab always adds so much money to it.
But that you could get a 180 for, like, the fraction of a cost,
Yeah,
where.
yeah.
Of 181, where it really literally is the first time that you see Wolverine,
Yeah.
even though it's only in like a panel at the end of
Yeah.
the issue. But for whatever reason, the market has determined that 181 is the one that you want, even though technically he first appears in the issue before.
Well, he's asking a lot of tough questions. The next one is if you could only have 10 comics, what age would they be from? Bronze, silver, or golden
Oh,
age?
okay. I thought he was going to ask which 10 comics. I'm like, I can't just pick 10 individual issues. That is a good question. Oh, God. I for me, I think it would probably, as much as I like the older comics, I think that probably mine is going to have to probably come either from the Bronze or the Modern Age. It probably honestly would come from the Modern Age.
For me, I'm gonna answer this twice. If it's value, I'd pull them from the Golden Age.
Oh, for well, for value,
If
I
I'm
just
looking at
prefer
this from
like what I love
a monetary viewpoint, you know
to
what I would go for: action,
Yeah.
sensation, all-star comics.
See, for me, I'm just thinking like reading pleasure, like in between Bronze and Modern, like I've got my Uncanny X-Men that I love, everything that I the stories that I love the most are probably from those ages, I would say.
For reading, I would go for Bronze, 'cause that's where it got me started. That's where my collecting started, and that's where, like, I have this how could you say it? Like, everything from that period is like fantastic to me because that's where that's the era that I grew up with.
Yeah, it's the
So it's like
nostalgia
it's the
that's what you
nostalgia.
remember.
It has the nostalgia factor of it that I like. That's what I'd want.
Yeah, that's what got you into this hobby that you ended up loving. So, yeah, how can you not?
And then the last question is, what style of writing takes you out of story? I don't know what he's poking at there, but I'd say
I have
Tom
no idea
King's.
either.
Tom King's repetition of dialogue words, just like it could be a great story, and I just want to like throw it against the wall.
I don't know that I have
That's
a certain.
interesting that you mentioned that there was that guy tweeting about it, though.
Yeah.
Like he's noticing. I mean, he has that same pet peeve I do then.
I think he did. I don't know that I have one though. I don't think that there's anything like I don't mind. I have to be in the mood, obviously. Like
No, you don't
you're
have to.
saying
You have to
reading.
read alphabetically. That's
No,
what
but I'm
it
saying like older stuff. Like so sometimes like you know like I've been reading some of the Golden Age Batman from the Omnibus.
Yeah.
And you know sometimes you have to be in the mood for that because of that type of old
Writing,
writing from the 40s, you know. But yeah, I don't think there's anything in particular, one style that like totally takes me out. The only thing that I could say, and this isn't going to be anything controversial, is if it's a type of writer that doesn't write, I don't even know how to say it. I'm going to use as a good example the Christopher Priest, where he's jumping all over the place, like a death stroke. But that's done really, really well. If I'm reading something that's done very poorly, it gets super confusing where I have no idea what's going on. But I mean, that's just bad writing, you know? So that's not really a style. That's just somebody that isn't writing something very well. So I don't think there's a certain style that totally takes me out that I can think of off the top of my head
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't like time shifting, but Christopher Priest is really good at that
Yeah, he's just good
particular
at it.
style.
So
There's
I don't
some
know.
people that just do it, and it was like, what did it add? Do you know what I mean? Like
Yes, but
I
does it
see the I
unnecessarily?
see the big picture with Priest. Like I, it all ma it's all done for a reason.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff, it is kind of weird the way they're doing Wonder Woman. Because it's almost like the stories are so related, but one's in the past and one's in this current, and it's you're alternating, and it's the same title.
That's a really good one because although I wouldn't say it's taking me out of the story that I haven't been enjoying it, it has gotten confusing to me that I
Yeah,
can't
because then you're
remember
like,
which
is
is the
this
past,
past or the
which isn't.
present?
So you're the same way. I can't remember
It's not
sometimes.
because of quality. It's
No.
because they keep alternating them, and the stories are so similar.
Yep.
They're all Veronica Kale related, and you're trying to say, well, is this did this happen in the past? Okay, what happened last issue? Oh wait, that was the future. I'm like.
I'm with you 100% on that. I'm reading them. I'm like, I have no idea if this was supposed to be her, like shortly after her year one, or if this is current, you know, currently. I really don't. I mean, I'm still enjoying it, but I really have no idea what, like, when the time frame is supposed to be when he alternates back and forth. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I see that Shea Fontana is doing just a few issues, but then James Robinson is actually taking over. So I'll be interested to see what he does with Wonder Woman.
Did you read James Robinson on Cable?
No, I did not. Did you?
I did. I
How
liked
was
it.
it? It was good, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do good with the time jumps, so that's for sure.
Well, that's good. I've never been a huge Cable fan, so I didn't order it.
And I like what he's doing with Nick Fury. I really do. That book is very pulpy. It's very a callback to what Steranko was doing.
Okay. That's cool too. I that's another one I
Because
haven't picked up at all, but
he's a master of the history, like.
when he does it well, yes. I mean, that's where his whole Starman thing, you know, why I loved it. But some of the other stuff that he's written since, it hasn't clicked for me for whatever reason. So,
well, I liked his Fantastic Four. I might be the only one, but
I didn't care for it.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. It just didn't click for me for whatever reason. Does he have any other questions?
No, that's it. We can wrap this up.
Yeah, we did good. Yeah. I missed Chris. Would have been nice to talk to Chris, but he's got a lot going on outside with his,
he's got the rotor tiller going on.
His
right
dad-in-law was out there.
He's going to plant something, or he's going to put grass, or he's going to do something.
Yeah. I suggested that he just tell his father-in-law to get started and be right out. And then like 3 hours later, he walks out. Oh, look, it's already done. Good job, Dad.
Yeah. Well, you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on the Twitters. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Our Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like button. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And leave an iTunes review. And Chris is at MythMakingETC. And
that's right.
Normally we'll try to be all here, but there's a high probability that we'll be alternating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Me and Chris tried to get something together. It was last week, but we just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It is.
I've been really busy on the weekends, and so normally the time that we're back home because of the kids is more toward the evening time.
Yeah.
And he's not necessarily available at that time frame, so.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you later, Rob.
Yep, sounds good, Mike. All right. Have a good rest of your Sunday.
All right, see ya. Bye.
All right, take care.